Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Get the Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett, and sir, we are gathered here. We are socially distanced here today to talk about potential WrestleMania 37 surprises. Before we get into it, though, Hamflett, how are you feeling? What is it, 5 days to go now?
Yeah, we are socially distanced here today, as we will be all week, not just by ourselves, but I wish people could see this on the podcast screens. Cardboard cutouts of our friends and our families around us to sort of help build the atmosphere for that half and half crowd that we're going to get on Sunday at WrestleMania. Excitement levels are at a medium. Yeah. I found myself getting thrilled at the prospect of that first entrance. And he'll like this. Follow at M. Sidgwick for a nice picture of his that he's just put up on Twitter that I've just seen that I really liked. But little things like that, little things like thinking about America the Beautiful getting sung, some planes flying over, the majesty of it all, I guess. I found myself, after a Johnny Gargano tweet, reminiscing on that incredible weekend in 2019, WrestleMania 35, NXT TakeOver, New Japan at the Garden, all that sort of stuff. And it did instill something in me, the return to the world, the return to the wrestling that we've so been desperate to want to see. None of that, absolutely none of it, is related to the card. None of it is related to the TakeOver leading up to the card. None of it, well, not that much of it, with one seven-foot exception and one of his smaller mates, is particularly isolated to the Hall of Fame. I am not hugely invested in WrestleMania week for the individual events as much as I am the idea that at the very, very end of the week, we'll be talking about some wrestling that looks like how wrestling is supposed to look like. Mm. They might be spaced out, but 25,000 people are going to witness those matches. And that's got to do something, hasn't it? That's got to feel different. And now, after over a year, special.
Well, please God, yeah, exactly. It's the usual thing, isn't it? I'm sure the matches will be great. We talked about on the Raw review today about how the build, especially for the Red Brands matches, like I still, as much as people want to poo-poo it, I still love this build for the Universal Championship match, and I'm heavily invested in that match. And I have no doubt that Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn is going to be great. Sheamus versus Riddle is going to be entertaining because Sheamus has been on an absolute tear. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins is going to be great. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, despite how badly they've botched it since the start of February, is going to be one of the matches of the weekend, in my opinion, as with Asuka and Rhea Ripley. But we're here to talk about WrestleMania surprises. And one of them we sort of alluded to on the Raw review, and I mentioned it on the news today, they've got this tag team turmoil match on Saturday night leading to the winners of that facing Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the women's tag team titles on the Sunday night. Now, it seemed to be suggested that it'd be the likes of Lana and Naomi and Natalya and Tamina and the Riot Squad and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. But it might not end there. Billy Bloody Kay was involved with this segment on Raw last night. WWE supposedly put up a graphic of Carmella and Billy Bloody Kay being involved, that maybe added on SmackDown or whatever. But it's, I know it's me, but even for me, it's not that much of a stretch to suggest a former women's tag team who won the titles 2 years ago at WrestleMania could get back together. What's the probability of an
iconic
reunion for you this weekend?
Wilborn, the potential of your predictions haunt me. Honestly, I want this. I'm not even as big an Iconics fan as you, and I want this. Why would anybody not want this? They acknowledged that people want this. They acknowledged at the Royal Rumble that perhaps splitting these two up was pretty stupid. You know, they've got about as much as they can get out of Billy Kay in this role on SmackDown, looking for a partner. They've not got anywhere near as much as they should have gotten out of Peyton Royce, but it's not giving up on it to go back to something that worked so well, which is what those two did. Even if long-term we go down that route of wrestler manager between Royce and Billy Kay respectively. So I hope so. More than just for your joy, because me and you will be getting to do the podcast on the Sunday night, by which point the Iconics will be tag team champions again, if they do indeed return the night before. So, you know, that'll be great. But yeah, I'd really like to see this happen. I think what I will say for this otherwise putrid women's tag team division at present is that they've sort of drummed up a bit of interest more in what isn't booked versus what is.
Yeah.
There is little to no interest in virtually every named challenger, with the exception of Billy Kay's potential mystery partner, the wild fantasy booking suggestion I made a couple of weeks ago of Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, the slightly less wild fantasy booking team I suggested of Charlotte Flair and Bayley, or indeed any other mystery team, you know, if maybe Aleta and a Trish, I don't know. But, you know, like the idea that there could be mystery teams added to this are far more exciting than the actual listed opponents. They feel there to build up to a surprise pop at the end. It's not sort of too dissimilar to those moments just before the Hardy Boys came out, but the New Day did, where suddenly you looked in the ring and you thought, well, I like Enzo and Cass and I like the Good Brothers. And the New Day might be in the match. This is quite interesting to me. And then the Hardy Boys came out and you were like, oh, this is what this is all about. This is the exciting stuff. This feels like that's why this has been added to the card. It doesn't feel like what we've got. It's about what we haven't yet been shown.
Can you imagine, by the way, obviously it's a classic moment. And I think Matt Hardy himself tweeted Xavier, who just tweeted about it over the weekend, regarding of how well the New Day teed that up and got them, but didn't spoil it. It always winds me up that sometimes. Like, remember when we watched the Chronicle and Ambrose sort of talked about how Seth, not through no fault of his own scripting, sort of ruined his return because he sort of mentioned, oh, if you're going to have a Scottish psychopath in your corner, I'm going to have a lunatic in mine. And then he said Ambrose's name as well. And then you got the music hit. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like I might just stop watching wrestling if one Titus O'Neil walks out and says, yeah, this tag team turmoil match is good, but I know one team that could make it iconic with an Australian accent. That's hopeful. And I think it would work as well. I know it's me fantasy booking myself here, but it would work. Like, Carmella's not been like, yeah, okay, I'll take you as a partner. I'll take a WrestleMania payday and being involved in a match. That'd be great. She sort of messed about with her and left her sort of hanging. And Carmella's not a babyface. So, you just think it makes sense that you have her go, oh, all right then, Billy, I'll be your team. I'll be your partner. And Billy go, oh, well, I couldn't wait around till the day. I couldn't really, like the old Team Cena versus Team Nexus. We couldn't wait around until the day of the pay-per-view. I've had to call in some favours.
There is a crueler version of this scenario, of course, that I could pitch here. So I'm assuming that in your version of this, it's something like Billy Kay's in the ring or on the ramp, and we go to the screen and we see Carmella laid out and we see some boots, and then it turns out it's Peyton Royce. Something like that. Like, it's a
My picture of this is Carmella's entrance with the, you know, the way it's lit behind her and just lays her out. A kangaroo kicks her or something. I don't know.
Great, ideal. I could give you the crueler version of that, which is that Billy Kay is laid out and we have Bamella as the team, and it's Carmella and Bayley rather than Billy Kay and Carmella or Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. It's that combination. Carmella has been campaigning to be on the WrestleMania card, has, like, rightfully so as well, noted that there isn't enough effort being made in women's storylines at the moment. And that feels like, when I think about that, I think, well, that's why you're going to get on the card.
Hmm.
So then it becomes, well, why are we fantasy booking Carmella out of this match? Shouldn't we be trying to get rid of her partner, Billy Kay, instead? Not to be alarmist when you've pitched something so nice and heartwarming, but I don't think we can rule that out entirely either.
Yeah, let's talk about Bayley, because we've spoken about this personally ourselves and on podcasts a lot recently. Of, you know, there is this, you know, furore about, like, why isn't Bayley on the WrestleMania card? And now is not the time, but I certainly agree with you to a certain extent that not being on WrestleMania is no longer the be-all and end-all, in particular this year's WrestleMania. It's not like, nah, you're going to miss out on this massive payday or whatever. It just, and me and Sid actually talked about this on a podcast a while ago about the myth of WrestleMania is the big thing they build for the year to. No, they execute things on Saudi shows. They execute things on B-level pay-per-views in casual fans' eyes, because it's just the right time to do it. You and I were sat here frantically trying to book Sasha and Bayley to WrestleMania. And in the end, like, we weren't sat there going, oh, it was good, but it would have been better on WrestleMania. No, it was great what they got to do. And Hell in a Cell and the SmackDown and what have you. So having said all that, Bayley should still be on WrestleMania, shouldn't she? Because there's what? Effectively four women's matches you've got right now. And if she's not involved in any of it, it's kind of criminal. And just in terms of a pure talent, like, why wouldn't you just have her on there as a far more than a good hand? She's incredible, Bayley.
Yeah, her not appearing on WrestleMania this year, let's just assume that she doesn't for whatever reason. If she's not on this WrestleMania, it won't mean that people will just forget the 2020 feud with Sasha Banks.
No.
And I think that's maybe how, like, the perception of WrestleMania has changed. I think there would have come a time where that was the big stamp of approval of looking back on the prior year and things like that. I don't think that's the case anymore. So it's not going to hurt a reputation or a legacy or anything like that. I do think I'm slightly suspicious about there not being a louder campaign from Bayley herself. I've got a gut feeling that something is lined up for Bayley. And if it's not, perhaps the reason she's not campaigned loudly for herself is because she's okay with this too. Perhaps she understands that ultimately this is more of an issue of timing, that she is respected hugely by her peers. You know, she knows that management knows how vital she is to SmackDown, and one more WrestleMania match isn't going to make her any more or less vital. So maybe there's a comfort to that for her. But yeah, it's just suspicious to me that she's not been leading some sort of campaign, other than the odd mention of, well, WrestleMania needed a host, did it? Back when Titus and Hogan were announced as the two, you've got her in a Ding Dong Hello get up, who would have been sort of a perfect WrestleMania host. It's very much like when Alexa Bliss was short of an angle and they made her the host, and it sort of fit perfectly because she was a big star and deserved to be on a WrestleMania. So yes, Bayley does deserve it, whatever that means in 2021. And I think something will come of it. I don't know what. The Sidgwick's put a good pitch out that I won't spoil. Go and have a look on his Twitter. There is the possibility, I think I mentioned this on another podcast, but the fact they were having to get all the Thunderdome stuff taped did make me wonder if they would just book Charlotte versus Bayley out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Quite literally on the blue. Just use the go-home SmackDown to say... You remember when the Triple H Undertaker build, where they both just looked at the sign and nobody said a word?
Mm-hmm.
What sometimes gets forgotten with that build is that the Undertaker's return was built up. They'd done the big walking into a rainy shed thing. The Undertaker's coming back. And before he even got to put the microphone to his lips, Triple H's music hit. And that return was a surprise. And it was like, you cheeky bastard. You've stolen the Undertaker's moment. And then it's to build up this big match. What about if Charlotte makes her grand return to SmackDown, and before she can even say what she's here for, Bayley interrupts her, and the two of them stand in the ring and look at the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah.
Nobody would ask. And it's on the go-home SmackDown. There's no time to ruin it. You know, like, it just feels to me like at the moment, Bayley in particular has been so quiet that something and somewhere she'll feature. And again, if she doesn't, and I'm a t-shirt buying Bayley fan, my heart won't be broken by it. Her legacy is assured regardless of appearing on this particular version of the show.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One conspiracy theory I've read from the pages of whatculture.com, nonetheless, concerns the return of two now Hall of Famers, those being the Bella Twins. Our very own Jamie Kennedy suggested that the silhouette that they placed as the team to be represented from the winners of the Tag Team Turmoil match to take on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler bore quite a strong resemblance to an old image of the Bella Twins. We always kind of try and pump the brakes when wrestling fans go, well, they've had the kid, get them back out there. But it would be a hell of a WrestleMania surprise, a comeback from the Bella Twins, which they themselves have talked about over the last few months about happening within the year.
Yeah, I think that's what's made this story so tantalizing, isn't it? Beyond just that silhouette or that potential clue that was thrown out there by that graphic, is this idea that the Bella Twins were wanting to put themselves back in the conversation, not as just as Hall of Famers, but as full-timers for, let's say, the summer, as a way to throw people off the scent that they were going to come back at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think that would be good gamesmanship from the Bellas, who are really, really good at marketing themselves anyway, and are really, really good at ensuring that their value is at the absolute highest. I would like it. I think the Bellas, you know, to this, I guess, undermines a little bit of our conversation about the potential return of the Iconics or whatever in the tag team match. I think they'd be an awesome addition to the Tag Team Turmoil match, and indeed awesome challenges on the second night. I think the Bella Twins, to be fair to them, Nikki became genuinely great. Brie did remarkably well to return like so soon in that summer program with Maurice and Daniel Bryan and The Miz, when they both had babies then, hadn't they? Maurice and Brie Bella. It was pretty amazing. I think they've got like star power almost beyond WWE at this point. I think it doesn't really matter that they spent a long time in the, you know, that sort of PG era on the arms of celebrity guest hosts or yeah, just as the faces of the Divas division when the Divas division was at its worst. I don't think any of that matters now. I think they're proper stars outside of WWE. The ratings for their reality shows always do well. They feel WrestleMania worthy. They feel big stage worthy. So I'd love it if the Bella Twins, it's almost ideal for them to come back, even if their reign with those belts is to be short-lived and they're off to disappear again for a little while. Would anybody really care? Those belts are in the mud at the moment anyway. I think, if nothing else, I think a publicity shot of the Bellas with those belts would be the most prestigious those belts have felt since the middle of last year.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're absolutely spot on. And just to use a very personal example, if I told my missus that the Bellas returned, she'd watch. She would 100%. I think, you know, she's a wrestling fan. You know, she was the one who suggested when we walked in after we got married into the reception room that we enter to Stone Cold's music. That's all her. That's all her. But she's very much a casual wrestling fan. Like, if I say, oh, do you want to know what happened at Elimination Chamber, or would you rather watch it yourself and not be spoiled? She just goes, yeah, just tell me. But she still has certain people, understandably due to our close resemblance, people like Roman Reigns, who she's got an affection for. So the Bella Twins is someone I guarantee would get a pocket of casual female wrestling fans back to watch the product in the post-WrestleMania period. And that's exactly what WWE needs. They gave birth in August, if Google is correct. Which is bloody ages! They've had 8 months. What are they playing at? Why weren't they back? No, we're not going to do that. But I could very easily see it happening. And I think the only thing I would say is that is the only entrance theme that I think could kill the return of wrestling. And that'd be Brie Mode, because it's awful.
I haven't even thought about that. I was thinking that I'd quite like the Bella's theme at this point. I've become so accustomed to it that I like almost started to miss it a little bit. And then, yeah, I'd forgotten about Brie Mode, which, you know, I want to just bring down the... I don't often put myself over too much on these podcasts. We do these podcasts, and then sometimes I get a few tweets, people complimenting my singing, and I want it made very clear that I'm not doing this so you can turn your chair around on The Voice. I always think I'm doing it in like a sort of mocking, condescending way. So when the people send those tweets, I have to like pretend I'm not blushing a little bit. That's fun. I'm secretly, my head inflates 10 sizes and everybody's seen my wallet head. It's big enough. It's like, I am not under any circumstances going to sing the Brie Mode sting. I'm just not going to do it. It's not happening.
I love that on reality TV shows. Yeah, I was just stood there singing in the shower and I heard my mum go, turn off that radio. Oh, well, yeah. We have to talk Logan Paul, talking celebrities at WrestleMania. I quite enjoyed his appearance, I have to say, on SmackDown last week, I should say. I've no idea how or if he's going to be involved in this, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match, aside from being at ringside and hopefully in their eyes, drawing more eyes to WrestleMania. But could you see him getting involved? Because I certainly could.
Yeah. I think so. Here's the Logan Paul. My understanding of Logan Paul, because we do these podcasts, and I tell you this time I'm going to do the homework, and I never do, and I rely on you to tell me what I should know about him or what I should think about him, was that it would have been a bit foolish to bring him in as a white meat babyface celebrity. Yeah. It wouldn't have worked. Like, enough people don't like him. That would have been too difficult to pitch. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that they got that about right on SmackDown, because he looked a little bit eye-rolly with Sami Zayn, but he was there nonetheless as his guest. So he's kind of at least admits to this bit of interaction with this heel character, even if he thinks he's a bit of a tit. But then after it all goes down with Owens and Zayn, Owens shoves him away. So me, the wrestling fan, knows that the babyface does not endorse this man. Like, I really liked how that was presented to me. And whatever I do or don't know about Logan Paul, it's that Kevin Owens doesn't think much of him. And I think a lot of Kevin Owens. So that told me everything I need to know about this guy. Bit internet obsessed. Might be all right, but the guy I think is actually all right doesn't care for him. So, like, that's all I need to know. So at WrestleMania, I think they can present him ostensibly as a babyface and then have him do something not that nice and earn himself a stunner. And if Logan Paul's got the reach that he seems to have, then that stunner's going to get clipped and it's going to get used as an image from WrestleMania, and it's going to be Logan Paul does this, and there's going to be a huge, there's going to be numbers everywhere, goddamn numbers everywhere you look for tweets or for YouTube videos or GIFs or whatever. And that's kind of what WrestleMania is, more than a wrestling show. It's to get talking points. It's to generate attention on the brand. It's Peacock now, you know, it's that too. I think he's eating a stunner.
And I think as well, to take the sort of Logan Paul position on all this, like, he has shifted on, in my opinion, from just being an internet personality now. He's obviously had those fights with KSI, his brother's boxing as well. He's a massive knobhead. Jake more than Logan, although Logan has, like we said, had a checkered history, to say the least. But I think it could work both ways. This isn't just necessarily Logan collecting a paycheck and saying, oh, yeah, I'll make myself like a bit of a twat if you, you know, pay me enough money. I don't know what the situation is, but I know at one point he was meant to be boxing Floyd Mayweather in this big exhibition thing. So if they want to get eyes back on him and talking about him and get that buzz back so they can presumably reorganize this Mayweather fight, because I thought it was meant to have already happened, if I'm perfectly honest, I didn't pay that much attention to it. Then yeah, eating a stunner in particular on the grandest stage of them all, with all the history that comes with that, like, I can easily see him getting involved. I don't think he will or should play into the finish, but who knows? Maybe he'll not really get involved until the inevitable ref bump in that match. But yeah. I think there's scope for that. And as much as, you know, we've got celebrity involvement in terms of Bad Bunny, who I think has done an excellent job from the Royal Rumble, if I'm perfectly honest, the one name we all want to see back in a WWE wrestling ring is Pat McAfee. But if we can't have him, let's talk instead about the man it was all about at last year's WrestleMania, who did that, just to clarify, he did that, then went on to win the Super Bowl. I'm talking about Gronk. Are we getting Gronk, Michael Hamflett?
I don't want you to get Gronk. I don't want to get Gronk. I don't want my friends or family to get Gronk. It sounds like a very severe condition. We're just on the back end of a pandemic. I don't need another one, whatever Gronk is. Was the original Gronk run a fever dream? Because it's been so, it comes from this period that WWE are already not going to want to show you much from, because it was their early experimental days of performance center shows, no crowds, no nothing. The darkest days, in a way. You know, the World Health Organization calling it a pandemic, so the whole world had to be like, oh, right, this is for real. Yeah. Everybody is equally affected, the whole deal. And you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know how long the tunnel is, let alone trying to see the light. So Gronk is almost his WWE run is almost entirely isolated in that period. The only thing about Gronk that survives that era and moves to, say, the Thunderdome period of WWE's 2020 is the scene in the WrestleMania documentary where Vince McMahon is doing the jump for him. So the rest of it is Gronk doing that dance that Michael Cole has to look really happy about. Gronk and Mojo Rawley getting on people's nerves. It's, you know, that's about the size of it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Gronk doing the bump that we then would go on to see a septuagenarian do a better job of on a documentary. And then did he lose the 24/7 title, or did he, like, surrender it via satellite before going back to the NFL?
I think didn't he get pinned in his own backyard by R-Truth, if I'm not mistaken?
That sounded about right, yeah. I'd like to think they flew R-Truth out there to get it done. Yeah, what a strange and, like, it wasn't a difficult period for WWE. It was a difficult period for literally the whole world, and WWE's solution to it was Gronk. that's what it's like.
It's the old Dave Chappelle. Someone get Ja Rule on the phone right now.
That was it, yeah. Just, I don't want to reminisce about Gronk because I can't, because I have no, I barely have memories, let alone fond memories. Mm. Like, I dread the day that we have to do his entrance for the 5-star review, because you're going to come to me and say, Hamflett, talk us through Gronk. I don't want to, Wilborn. Sorry. I don't want to have to go back and read around the subject or revisit it through videos.
And if you're thinking, why on earth are they brought Gronk up rather than, you know, The Undertaker or Triple H getting randomly in a match, which is not going to happen as much as The Undertaker isn't retired. It's because he popped up on Barstool Sports' Pardon My Take podcast, which is genuinely one of the best podcasts out there that isn't this podcast. He talked about Gronk returning and said it's been discussed internally. They were meeting up with him around the Super Bowl. He says, you can have a lot of conversations, but until he actually shows up, I don't know if it's going to happen. There have been conversations around that. As always, there's going to be a lot of celebrity influence. Now, Gronk is still, I believe, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for another year, which will happen once Tom Brady also re-signs, because you're going to do that if you've just won the Super Bowl with him in such comprehensive fashion as we saw. But yeah, I could see a segment with him backstage. I don't know, having a moment with Titus. I'd prefer it with him than with the other one. So, moment with Titus, and them saying, look at us, WrestleMania hosts, former 24/7 champions. I don't know. I'd like that.
I mean, yeah, like, fine. It's inoffensive celebrity stuff at WrestleMania is absolutely fine. It's as long as it doesn't get in the way of the, like, Gronk is a guy that this year I desperately don't want to get in the way of the wrestling. Whereas last year I genuinely thought, oh, well, he might be an interesting distraction. And I don't mean like distraction from a boring show. I mean distraction from my real life, which is absolutely horrendous because we're all locked inside. Like this year, I'm okay with him being a distraction from the wrestling for a minute. Like a let me up segment in between two matches.
Yeah.
What? Like, why not? Why not give the plucky underdog millionaire footballer a payday? Hey, get him on the show. Get him on the show.
Well, let us know your thoughts about what we've discussed and other potential WrestleMania 37 surprises we could see this weekend on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. You can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, of course. And if you're in the UK, there is still time to get your hands on the WhatCulture WrestleMania Survival Crate from our friends at Top Rope Brewing. £45 for 12 cans of brilliant craft beer. If you know your craft beer, you know that is an absolute bargain. Plus, if you put in the code Here's Why, you get free shipping anywhere in the UK. And that offer is still available. Make sure you get there before Thursday afternoon, I believe, in order to get your beers in time for WrestleMania. This is I'm going to be drinking it on the stream. Andy and Nicholas Phil are going to be drinking it as well. These are genuinely great beers. Check it out, topropebrewing.com. If you want to get your hands on that, there is still time ahead of WrestleMania 37. We'll be producing loads more content, of course, over the next few days. If you want to stay in touch with all that, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on YouTube and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.